Blog Talk Radio.
Perfect when he beat Goliath. Daniel had it in his heart that he wouldn't sin. They thought they had him when they threw him in the lion's den. Live with Yah, he'll turn you into something great. His yoke is easy and his burden is a lightweight. He said, ask in his name and he will do. Yahushua, show your undenied truth. The Messiah said, greater things we'll do. Cause with the Father, there's nothing impossible. You could do a lot more than the logical. With the Father, you could do the impossible. You could overcome any kind of obstacle. Yahushua helped you do the impossible. You could do a lot more than the probable. Just believe you could do the impossible. What you waiting on? Tell me what's stopping you. Move a mountain that's nothing impossible. The possibility of failure is zero. If you apply what he teach, cause he know. Feeding over 5,000 just by loaves. Two fish, do you think it's impossible? He told the fig tree it'll never bear fruit. And it instantly dried up from the root. He put clay on his eyes and he received sight. Lazarus was dead, he brought him back to life. He healed leprosy, he did it with delight. Yahushua, the Messiah, way, truth, and light. Crucified by the people, he came to save. And even then, forgive him, that's what he prayed. He gave his spirit to the people that will follow him. I give it free to you, so give it free to them. And you can overcome any kind of obstacle. Cast all doubts aside, it's possible. You can do a lot more than the logic. With the Father, you can do the impossible. You can overcome any kind of obstacle. Yahushua help you do the impossible. You can do a lot more than the probable. Just believe you can do the impossible. What you waiting on? Tell me what's stopping you. Move a mountain that's nothing impossible.
bow down and worship you. We glorify your holy name. We praise your holy name today.
Shabbat Shalom, Kol Yisrael. You are listening to Sound the Trumpet Radio Ministry. I am your host, Raha Pathuel Ben Yaakov, join with you on this blessed Shabbat day once again that the Most High has granted and allowed us to come together by via of internet, Blog Talk Radio. Once again, I am here to share with you the word of the Most High, to bring clarity and understanding to Yah's word. And hopefully we are able to do that today by the Spirit of the Most High. So I just want to greet all of you, my friends and listeners, brothers and sisters, who have taken time out of your time today to join with us as we expound upon the word of the Most High. Today, I don't have a specific topic. I have some things that are on my heart, and I just want to speak from my heart today, things that's been on my mind, on my spirit. And what I want to kind of talk about a little bit today is about vision, having a vision, having insight, having revelation knowledge. And a lot of people today do not have a vision and don't understand what the word vision is. Many of us today cannot see beyond what is in front of us. We must understand that how far we can see is how far we're going to get. So the limitations of what you can see, whether it is spiritually or physically, that is how far you're going to get. And a lot of us spiritually, our vision is impaired. Our vision is inadequate. And that's why we tend to continue to fall, or we continue to meet certain limitations in our spiritual walk, because we cannot see further than our limitations. And as for us to progress as the people of the Most High, we have to ask the Most High to open up our understanding, open up our eyes, so that we might be able to behold and be able to see what's beyond the surface of everything that's transpiring in the world today, transpiring spiritually, our understanding when we study the word of the Most High, circumstances and situations that happen in our personal life. If we cannot see past those limitations, then we are going to be inhibited in proceeding and moving forward in our life on a spiritual level and a physical level. So how far we can see is how far we're going to get. If we cannot see beyond our limitations, our own personal limitations, then we're not going to be able to overcome those limitations, or we're not going to be able to overcome those situations. So we have to ask the Most High to open up our eyes so that we might be able to see that vision, understand that revelation. And many teachers, pastors, people who proclaim to have understanding of the word of the Most High, they have no vision. And this is why we are perishing as a people, because we have no vision. Prophetically, even understanding of the word of the Most High. So we have to ask the Most High daily to open up our eyes, open up our knowledge, open up our understanding. See, the eyes of a person, the eyes reflect upon the understanding and the knowledge that one possesses. Because the things that we see are the things that we internalize. The things that we can see, it's how we are able to comprehend and to gather certain information, whether it's in our daily walk, whether it's on our jobs, whether it's spiritual matters and things of that nature. So our eyes are one of the main components of how we perceive to understand and how we gather information and knowledge. Spiritually, if we are not able to see and our vision is obscured, then we stumble around. We fumble around. We walk in a state of confusion. We walk in a state of insecurity, because we are not able to clearly see with clarity the obstacles or what is before us. So in order for us to have a clear understanding, what are the things that we have to do? Is it we have to pray more? Is it that we have to fast? Is it that we have to seek understanding or guidance from others? And these are all good scenarios. And these scenarios that I just mentioned and other scenarios are beneficial to our spiritual walk and to our personal lives in general. But the only way that we're going to be able to see clearly is that we got to start with our own heart. We got to start with our own lives. That's why Yahshua gave the parable about the man having a beam in his eye. But yet he's trying to work, get the mote out of his brother's eye. Messiah said, he said, look, he said, first get the mote out of your eye. Then you can see clearly how to help your brother. And a lot of us is trying to help our brothers and sisters, and we're trying to help others, but yet in our own lives, we have beams and we have motes in our own eyes, and we're not seeing clearly on how to help our brothers and sisters or help individuals because we refuse to take out those inhibitors out of our lives so that we might be able to see clearly what the Most High is trying to convey to us. And that's why we're perishing, because we cannot see the vision clearly. Why? Because we have motes, we have beams, we have things in our own lives that we need to work out and rectify those things. And when we begin to examine our own heart, examine our own life according to the word of Yah, then our path will be made clear. Our eyesight will be made clear. Our understanding will be made clear. Our knowledge will be made clear. The Apostle Saul, or Brother Saul, Paul says that we are forever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I say this all the time. I say it all the time. Wisdom, learning is essential. But wisdom and learning does not profit an individual if we're not getting understanding of the wisdom, if we're not gaining knowledge through the learning. And understanding and knowledge does not come by reading. Understanding and knowledge does not come by studying. Understanding and knowledge comes by applying what you are studying, what you are reading, what you are learning, the wisdom that you are receiving. You apply those applications to your life. And when you begin to walk in that learning, when you begin to walk in that understanding, then you begin to understand and knowledge of what the learning is, and understanding of what the wisdom that you're receiving becomes fruitful. That's how understanding comes. That's how knowledge comes. It comes from departing from iniquity. The scripture tells us that understanding and knowledge comes by the obeying and the doing of the commandments and laws, statutes of the Most High. This is how we get understanding. This is how we get wisdom. See, I can sit down and read a passage of scripture. I can sit down and study a passage of scripture. But that doesn't mean that I fully understand or I fully have knowledge of what I'm studying or what I am reading, unless I apply what I am reading and what I am studying into my life and make it a fruitful aspect whereby I am performing the script, or I am performing the scriptures. Therefore, the understanding of the characteristics of what I am reading no longer become wisdom, no longer become learning, but it becomes knowledge and understanding. Why? Because I have a personal, intimate relationship with the information. And this is what people are missing in their walk. And this is why we don't see the fruitfulness and the productivity and the improvement among us as a people, as a whole, as a collective nation known as Israel. And that's why we are perishing. Why? Because we have no vision. Remember, how far you can see is how far you're going to get. If you cannot see beyond the obstacles that are in front of you, then that's the limitation. That's only how far you're going to go. But if you can see in the distance, and if you have a destination and you can see that destination, even if it's miles away, and if you can put your eyes on it, then you can work your way towards that destination. But when you lose sight of that destination, then you're not going to reach that destination. Why? Because that destination is not in your view. It is the same thing with the things of the Most High. If we cannot see our destiny, our destination, see, people don't understand that the word destination means destiny. That's actually where that word comes from. Destiny is something that you were created and made to perform and to do. It is something that is inherited, or something that you was born into and you are meant to fulfill and meant to become. When the scripture says that Yah has predestinated us, that means that Yah has predestinated our destiny before we were even brought into the world. That means he knows our destiny and our destination in life. He knows where we're going to start, and he knows where we're going to finish. So if we understand our destination, then we can understand our destiny. If we understand our destiny, then we understand our destination. And as a people of the Most High, we do not understand our destiny, nor do we understand our destination. That's why we continue to go to and fro, here and there, everywhere, instead of walking in the pathway that leads us to our destiny and to our destination. And I am not talking about a destiny or a destination, how these T.D. Jakes the Snake, these Creflo, give me more your dollars, preach and teach. I'm not talking about a destiny like that. I'm talking about a destiny and a destination that supersedes the tangibilities and the tangible things that we equate to our lives and the things that we can physically see with our eye. See, people, that is a world beyond what we can physically see with our eye. When we can begin to look past the visibility of carnality and begin to look and peer into the visibility of the things that are spiritually, the things that are unseen, there is where our destination lies. There is where our destiny lies. And the only way that we can get there is that we have to follow the guideline and the map, the GPS, if I may use that terminology, that metaphor, that the Most High has given us in order for us to reach that point and to reach that destination. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind me. And he said, I'm looking forward and I'm pressing towards the mark of the high calling that is in Yahshua HaMashiach. So the only way that we are able to get to our high calling, or to our destination or our destiny that the Most High has predestinated for us, is that we got to forget all of these things that are behind us, the cares of the world, our personal endeavors, how we feel, how we think, what we perceive to be most important to us. We got to forget all of those things that are behind us. Our failures, our shortcomings, we got to put those things behind us. And we got to continue to press towards that mark, press towards that destination. And the only way that we can see our destination and see our destiny as Israel, we have to have that vision. We have to have the vision. We have to have the vision. I want to read something in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, and I just stumbled upon this, and hopefully this is somewhat concerning what we're talking about today. But I want you to see something. There were some things that really stuck out to me in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. Now, this is a story concerning Elijah and Elisha, all right? 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And I don't have these scriptures written down, so you're going to have to bear with me a little bit here, okay? 2 Kings chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 9. It says, and it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, I pray you, let a double portion. He said, let a double portion of your spirit, of your spirit be upon me. See, there's one thing that Elisha understood. He understood that the spirit that was upon Elijah was the essence and the spirit of the Most High. Now, Elijah asked Elisha a question. He said, look, he said, I want you to ask of me anything before I am taken away. Elisha could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for anything. But he asked for a double portion of the Spirit. What things are we asking for today? Are we so focused on our family, our friends, our finances, what type of car we're going to drive? Are we more focused on those things instead of being focused on receiving spiritual blessings, receiving spiritual gifts, receiving the things that are from above? Look what he goes on to say here in verse 10. He says, and he said, you have asked a hard thing. He said, nevertheless. He says this. Now look at this. He says, if you see me, he said, if you see me, when I am taken from you, it shall be so unto you. But if not, it shall not be so. Elijah answered Elisha. He said, if you want a double portion of the Spirit, he says, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so unto you. So if we are able to understand. Now, this word see, I want to define this in the Hebrew. This word is raha. It is the same Hebrew word that is equated with the English word as we know as pastor or shepherd. All right? It means to see. Direct and imply, to approve, to behold, have experience, to consider, to discern, to regard. And look at one of the other synonyms. It is visions. Vision. To have vision. Now, I want you to understand something. Elijah wasn't so much talking about himself. But there was something that was much deeper that Elijah wanted Elisha to see. There was something much deeper than that. It just wasn't the person Elijah. It wasn't just the miracles or the anointing that was upon Elijah that Elijah wanted Elisha to see. He wanted him to see the demonstration and the esteem and the power and the presence of Yah Almighty. He wanted him to see that act, to see that event. He wanted him to envision it and to have vision and to have revelation, to have understanding. And the only way that we are going to be able to have that double portion as the people of the Most High, we have to see the esteem and the power and the manifestation of Yah in our midst. And the people, and the thing about it is, people, is that it's not far from us. It's not something that's out of our grasp. And the reason why we cannot see it is because we are blinded by the things of this life and the things of this world. The reason why we cannot see clearly is because we still have mote, we still have beams in our eyes that we do not want to rectify. We do not want to take care of those things. We do not want to let go of those things. Look what he continues to say. Verse 10, I'm going to read that again. He says, you ask a hard thing. Nevertheless, he said, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be to you. He said, but if not, it shall not be to you. And the reason why we're not getting the things that we want from the Most High, or the reason why we're not walking in the spiritual plateau and the spiritual rim that we should be walking in, is why? Because we're not seeing the manifestation of Yah. It is there. It is present, just like Balaam, all right? When he went to go try to curse the children of Israel, the Melekim of Yah was standing right before him, but he could not see it. But you know who saw it? The jackass saw it. The donkey saw it. But Balaam could not see it. Why? Because his vision was obscured. His vision was impaired. Why? Because he was working against Yah instead of working for Yah. And a lot of times we think we're working for Yah, but we're working against Yah. Why? Because we're not seeing clearly what's before us. We're not seeing that Malach. We're not seeing that angel. We're not seeing the honor and the glory and the esteem of Yah being made manifest before us. Why? Because we still got motes in our eye. And that's why we see our lives perishing. That's why we see our children perishing. That's why we see our fellow brothers and sisters. That's why Israel is perishing today. Why? Because we have no vision. Look what he continues to say here in verse 11. It says, and it came to pass as they stood, went on, and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. And it parted them both asunder. It separated Elijah and Elisha. It came right between them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha, look what he did. He saw it. He raha. He saw it. He beheld it. He experienced it. He envisioned it. He saw the vision. And look what he did. When he saw it, it said he cried, my father, the chariots of who? Of Israel. The chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. In this great manifestation, in this vision, in this incident that happened, when Elisha saw it, he cried. He said, my father, my father. He said, he didn't say the chariots of heaven. Now look what he says here. He says, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen. And see, people, as Israel, we don't understand the army that we have behind us. We don't understand the army that Yah has prepared for us. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what obstacle that you might be facing. The scripture says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Why? Because the chariots of Israel and the horsemen are present there with you. There's another story, I believe it's in the book of Kings. I believe it was Jehoshaphat. I can't remember exactly who it was. But they were about to go to battle, and they were outnumbered. They were outnumbered. There was no way with the numbers of men that they had, that Israel had, that they could technically and logically, from a carnal aspect, win the fight. So the king, he began to pray. His heart began to become dismayed. And Yah said, look, I want you to open up your eyes. Yah opened up his eyes and showed him the host of the armies of heaven were all surrounded encamp around about the Israelites. And a lot of times we cannot see the army, the host of Yah encamped around about us. Why? Because we are so focused on the limitations that we see, the corner things that we see, that we cannot behold the esteem, we cannot behold the glory of Yah Almighty present with us. And people, we need to ask for that double anointing of Yah's Spirit. And the only way that we can get that double anointing, we have to see the vision. We have to understand the vision. We have to be able to see. We have to be able to raha, to perceive and to see the power and the manifestation of Yah. They're present with us. The scripture tells us that Yah's hand is not short that he cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But what separates us from Yah? It is our sin that separates us from Yah. We got to get rid of it. Because sin causes us to be limited in our perception, in our seeing, in our understanding of the destination and the predestination that Yah has predetermined for our lives. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 29. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 7. Now this is talking about the prophets. Why can't we see the vision? Why can't us as a people of the Most High see the vision? Why cannot we see the esteem and the honor, the omnipresence of Yah Almighty present with us? He says this, but they err. They err through what? They go astray. They sin. Through wine. They are intoxicated. We are intoxicated with the things of this world, with banqueting, with riotous living. This wine also represents, if you go to Revelation, it talks about in Revelation chapter 18 about the great whore that all the earth has drunken of the wine of her fornication. See, when a person is intoxicated with wine, a lot of times it causes them to become anemic in their thought process. They're not thinking clearly. Their vision becomes blurred. They cannot see clearly. All right? Is that not true? Now, I personally have never been intoxicated or drunk because I've never taken a strong drink. I've never taken a strong drink that's been a vow. I don't drink wine, period. I do not drink wine. I don't do it. That's just my personal conviction, all right? Because I want my spiritual life to be clear, and I want my physical life to be clear as well. So I don't partake of it. I just don't. But wine causes intoxication, and when that intoxication occurs, and those of you that have experienced this, you know that your vision becomes impaired. You cannot see clearly. Your logical reasoning becomes impaired. You cannot see clearly. But it also causes a sensual desire as well. A lot of times, wine causes a person to become sensual. They become desirous of sexual things. You understand what I'm saying? Therefore, a lot of times, it can lead to adultery. It can lead to fornication if you're not in a proper surrounding when you do it. But a lot of times that's what it leads to. There's been a lot of people who are going through things and they go to a bar, they get drunk, all right? And their intentions are not to commit fornication or commit adultery on their wife, but because they have put themselves in a vulnerable situation and they have drunk enough strong drink or wine per se and they become intoxicated, then their emotions, their reasoning begins to change, and they find themselves in a predicament whereby they have committed something that they have did not set in their heart to commit. And it's the same thing spiritually. When we become drunk through spiritual fornication, that is going astray from Yah, putting things before the Most High, And we begin to err. We begin to go astray through strong drink. He continues to say, and are out of the way. We become out of the derelict. We become out of the way. He says, the Kohen, the priest, and the prophets have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up with wine. They are out of the way. Through strong drink, they err what? In vision. They err in vision. They cannot see the vision. They cannot see clearly. And Israel today, we are still intoxicated with the wine of the world. We are still intoxicated with fornication. We got to stop fornicating against Yah. We got to stop committing adultery, spiritual adultery against Yah, because these are things that cause our vision to be impaired and we cannot see. Not only that, we begin to stumble in judgment. We begin to stumble in judgment. We cannot make right decisions. We cannot make right choices. Look at this. He said, for all the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. There's no place clean. Look at what Yah says in verse 9. He said, whom shall I teach knowledge? And to whom will I make to understand doctrine? See, this word teacher is Yara. Yara. The word teach is also associated with learning, because a person cannot learn unless there's some type of teaching that's going forth, okay? So Yah says, to whom will I teach knowledge? And to whom will I make to understand doctrine? This word doctrine is discipline. That's what it means. It means discipline, something heard or an announcement, doctrine, a report or news. That's what it means. It says, them that are what? Weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. So it's time that we stop sucking on these on milk. It's time that we stop arguing over these little trivial things, and that we begin to walk in understanding and begin to understand doctrine, begin to understand discipline, that we might be able to grow into maturity, that our vision might become clear and our understanding of what we see becomes fruitful, that we understand the things that we see and the things that we perceive. He also goes on to say in verse 10, he said, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. You cannot put precept upon precept. You cannot put line upon line, partaking of the wine of fornication. You cannot put precept upon precept and line upon line, still drawing milk from the breast. You have to be winged. You have to begin to walk in maturity and understanding. And the way that you walk in maturity is that you begin to apply the understanding and the teachings and disciplines to your life. The only way that I could be able to become a mature man, is that the things that I were taught as a young individual, as a young lad, I had to begin to practice those teachings and those disciplines that I was learned. Taught. Therefore, it brought about a certain maturity in my life. And that maturity began to progress me to being able to instruct and being able to give understanding and wisdom based on the experience that I have received from others and the maturity that I have received as a byproduct of obeying, as a byproduct of walking and fulfilling and applying the applications of what I had learned in my life. Same thing spiritually. And I know for me personally, the reason why that I have been able to progress even spiritually and come to the point whereby I am able to teach, and I don't say this boastfully, I'm just like the Apostle Saul. I'm not one whit behind the chiefest of teachers out here today. And the reason why is, not because of my own ability, but because I was an individual that took heed to sound doctrines and to sound disciplines from men who were older than me men who had understanding than me, and men who did not have understanding, and men who did not have certain disciplines in their life. Don't you know that you can learn from a wicked man just as much as you can learn from a righteous man? From a wicked man or from a fool, you can learn what things not to do. From a man of righteousness or a man of understanding, you can learn how to walk in understanding and walk in wisdom. I have had people to say to me, men twice my age, honor and respect what I teach and what I say and what I do based on the maturity that they see in me. And the way that I attain that understanding and knowledge wasn't so much through studying and reading, but it was through observation, through listening, through pondering, and applying the things that I saw were beneficial in my life. And that's the same way that we develop as a people. We develop that same way. Look what he says. He said, for a stammering lip and another tongue will I speak to this people. He said, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not what? They would not hear it. A lot of times people will not hear things because they simply don't understand them. They're simply not mature enough to receive them. That's the same thing with gardening. That's one thing aspect with gardening. You just cannot take a seed and go plant it out there in the ground. The ground has to be prepared and cultivated in order to receive the seed. The seed is a metaphor of knowledge, of wisdom, basically, and learning. That's what that seed is. The seed is a metaphor of the word or the dabar, something that is spoken, teaching, and instruction. In order for that teaching or that instruction, that seed, to be fruitful and to blossom and to germinate, the land or the mind has to be cultivated, has to be prepared somewhat in order to receive the seed. And the germination of the seed, which is the learning and the wisdom, that's what the seed represents. The germination process of it and the metamorphosis of the seed transforming into a plant comes by understanding and knowledge. And understanding and knowledge allows the seed to germinate and to begin to reach down into the soil and to receive the nutrients and the minerals and the water that is needed for it to shoot up out of the ground and to reach towards the sunlight so that the sun may cause it to grow and cause it to be nurtured. And once that germination process begins to grow and everything has been set in motion properly, then that plant can blossom and grow, that seed can grow, that learning can grow, that wisdom can grow. And the understanding causes it to bear forth fruit. And the knowledge causes it to bear forth fruit. It's the same metaphor in our lives. Same metaphor in our lives. And I know I use this metaphor so much. I use this metaphor so much, but it is imperative that we understand it, because even in my own life, I'm going to be transparent, even in my own life, there are certain things that I want to reach for, that I want to grasp for, that I want to achieve. But sometimes it seems though those things are out of reach and you cannot grab them, you cannot achieve them. And sometimes you have to sit back and just evaluate the situation and say, yeah, am I preparing myself in the way that I should, so that I can reach that goal or reach for whatever I'm trying to reach for and acquire and accomplish? Because without maturity, then you cannot accomplish that level of maturity that you're reaching for. Maturity brings about accomplishment. Discipline brings about accomplishment. A person cannot pass from the first grade to the second grade until they reach a certain level of approval of maturity. And once the teacher sees that the student is mature enough and developed enough in their understanding and in their knowledge of what has been presented or what has been taught, then they approve that student to move to the next level. It's the same thing with Yah. Yah is not going to take us to the next level as a people if we're not mature enough and ready to receive and ready to take on the discipline and the responsibility that it takes. That's why Messiah tells us that if we're not faithful in the little things, then we're not going to be faithful in the great things. But if we're faithful in the little, then y'all can entrust us with much. But we want to forget being faithful in the small things and jump to the big things. We're not ready to receive, and we have not understand the we have not yet accomplished the small things and the things that y'all has already given us. So if we cannot perfect the simplicity of things that Yah has given us, then how are we going to understand the complex things? In order to understand, this is just like building, and I'm a carpenter, I know how to build. In order for me to understand how to build a house, the most important, let me tell you something. The most important thing about building a house, or building in general, is not learning how to use a saw, is not learning how to read a tape measure. It is not having a creative mind. Those are not the most important things. Are those things important? Are they associated with learning how to build? Yes, it is. But the most important thing about building, and the old man taught me this. Old man, his name, we called him Bishop Banks. He taught me this. He said, son, the most important thing about building is learning how to use the hammer. If you cannot use a hammer effectively, then how are you going to be able to connect or to put together the structure of the home in order to erect the walls and the roof and everything? You can know how to cut a piece of board. You can know how to use a saw. You can know how to measure the board, but if you don't know how to use the hammer in order to fasten the board together, to make the boards come together and to fasten together in order to actually construct the building, then what use is the knowledge of knowing how to measure or knowing how to cut the board without understanding or knowing how to put it together? Or how to nail it together. And see, a lot of times we try to reach for things that we perceive to be monumental. We perceive to be greatness, when the greatness actually lies in the simplicity, of the situation. And once we understand the simplicity of the situation and we get the simplicity of the situation down pat, then we can go on to build the monumental things. We can go on to build up our people the way it's supposed to be built. But a lot of us, we got spiritual carpenters out here don't know how to use a hammer. They can measure. They can draw up the blueprint. But when it comes down to actually putting it together, they don't know how to do it. What good does that afford anybody? None whatsoever. So we got to learn how to use the hammer. We got to learn how to fasten this together. The scripture tells us that the body of Messiah is fastened, fitly joined together. So we gotta learn how to use that hammer. We gotta learn how to use that nail. And a lot of times in the process of the simplicity of things comes growing pain. Say for instance, when I first learned how to use the hammer, I used to instead of holding the handle of the hammer, I used to hold the hammer all the way up near the head of it. And my father used to say to me, son, you're choking the hammer. You can't choke the hammer, because if you choke the hammer, then the hammer's going to die. You're not going to be able to nail that nail in there. You're not going to be able to get the momentum that you need. So you got to hold the handle of the hammer. Hold the handle down here. And then when you swing the hammer, the leverage of the hammer, the more leverage you have, the more force you have to drive the nail in the board. And in the process of that, I had to learn how to hold the nail in order to hit the nail, okay? And a lot of times when you do that, you hit your finger in the process. So by hitting my finger, which is a painful situation, I gained the knowledge and the understanding on how to hit the nail properly without hurting myself. Do you understand what I'm saying? So oftentimes in the simplicity of things, it's more complex to understand, and there is growth pains that are situated with that, but those growth pains teach you how to use the tool professionally. It teaches you how to use the tool perfectly and wisely, without damaging yourself. And if you can use a tool without hurting yourself, once you learn how to use a tool without hurting yourself, then you can use that same tool without hurting others. So people, we got to be able to see the vision. We got to be able to see clearly. It wasn't until Elisha was able to see the manifestation and the power of Yah, being able to see Elijah being caught up by the chariots of Israel, the fiery chariots of Israel, the fiery horses of Israel, and being caught up. Only then, when he saw that vision, when he saw that power, that phenomenal act and event, he was able to receive a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. And the reason why we are perishing, because we're not seeing that. We're not seeing the vision. We're not seeing the revelation. We have no revelation, no understanding. Why? Because we don't want to go through the steps and the procedures in which it takes to achieve it. See, don't you know that Elisha, follow Elijah everywhere he went. He studied Elijah's every move. He did everything that Elijah told him to do. It was a process. It was a journey of maturity for Elisha. And when he reached that maturity whereby Elijah was able to be taken from him, that he was put in the proper place and the proper time, and the opportunity of greatness presented himself whereby he was able to receive not only the spirit that Elijah had, but a double portion of it. But a double portion of his spirit. There's always a process. There's always a path that we have to follow. If I may use the terminology, greatness is not bestowed upon a person just by happen chance, or just in the twinkling of an eye. Greatness is bestowed upon a person, honest bestowed upon a person, because they have worked they have went through the channels and they have worked. They have worked hard. They have walked in the discipline and the maturity in order to receive that thing. And we think we're going to just receive anything from Yah just by doing whatever we want to do. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We got to begin, people, to really search our hearts. Because I'm telling you, the times that we are in, these times, are they are getting bad, people. They are getting bad. I'm telling you, I truly believe that there's going to be rising of nations against nations. Matthew chapter 24 tells us that. Oftentimes, history repeats itself, and I'm telling you, people, there's going to be some type of race war, and I see it. Look at St. Louis right now. I was out on my job, and I got back in my vehicle after I did my inspection and everything, and I looked at my phone, and I see a state of emergency in Ferguson, Missouri. They shooting, they killing each other. And the thing about it is, people, is that I was reading the article that they had armed civilians there, armed civilians, and these were Caucasian, these were white people, with guns and everything, and the police did not even say anything to them. But now, do you think that a black man could have walked up in that situation with a gun, with a rifle, with a bulletproof vest on, and him not being and that black man not being arrested or even shot down by the police there? This is the reality in the world that we live in. And if we're not in that secret place with the Most High, people, we're not going to make it. The scripture tells us, before Yah judge this world, he's going to judge his people. And you say, well, Brother Pastor, well, we've already been judged. No, judgment is still occurring in the house of Yah. Because it's by judgment that we know the error of our ways. And it's by mercy and truth that iniquity is purged. So Yah is going to judge his people. And he's going to continue to chastise and to judge us until we get back on track, until we get this foam, this film off of our eyes. The scripture tells us to anoint our eyes with eye salve that we might see clearly. We got to ask Yah to anoint our eyes with eye salve that we might be able to see clearly, to get the beams out of our eyes, so that we might see the esteem and the power and the manifestation of Yah in our lives and surrounding our lives. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29. Tola Yah. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 10. Through 13. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 10 through verse 13. I really don't have much to talk about today. These are just things that the Most High put on my heart that I just want to share with you all. It says this here in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 10. It says, "For Yah has poured upon you the spirit of deep sleep and have closed your eyes, the eyes of the prophets and the rulers, the seers, have he covered." He said, "The vision of all is become unto you words of a book that is sealed." The vision of the book. The revelation of Yah's word. The revelation of truth. We cannot envision it. We cannot see it clearly. A lot of people can't see it. And those of you that do, you need to rejoice. Yeshua told his disciples that. He said, "Rejoice that your eyes are open, your ears are open, that you can hear, that you understand these parables that I'm giving you." Many people today do not understand them. Why? Because the vision of all is become unto them as the words of a book that is shut up, that is closed. which men deliver to one that is learned, and say, read this, I pray you. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. I can't read it because it's sealed up. Look what he goes on to say. And the book is delivered unto him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray you. And he said, I am not learned. Wherefore, if y'all say, for as much as these people, they draw near me with their mouths, and with their lips do they honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of man. It has caused us to be removed far from Yah. Why? Because there is no vision. There is no vision. Therefore, people are taught to fear Yah by the precepts and the opinion, the concept, theology, philosophizing of men's own opinion. Because there is no vision. How do we get that vision that we need, people? How do we get that vision? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. This is what the word of Yah says. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Told Yah. I'm going to read this in my close. And I pray that this small teaching today was a great inspiration to your heart. And I'm just saying what Yah has put on my heart to say, and that's going to be it, all right? We're going to open up the phone lines. I want to open up the phone lines and hear from my brothers and sisters, those of you tuned to the broadcast today. We do appreciate you all tuning into the broadcast and taking time out of your time to join us today. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. This is what the word of Yah says here. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people, they do what? They perish. They perish. It says, but he that what? Keepeth the law, happy is he. He said, he that keepeth the law, he's a happy person. Why? Because it is the law, the keeping of the law, that causes the veil of our eyes to see clearly the vision and to be able to see the wonderful things out of the law of the Most High. I want to read that too, that verse that Dawid says. I got to look for it right quick. Let me look for it. Hallelujah. So where there is no vision, the people perish. But those that keep the law of Yah, the law of Yah, they are happy individuals. Why? Because the vision, they can see. The eyes have been opened to see. Hallelujah. Todaya. Hallelujah. I'm still looking for it here. Todaya. Praise Yah. So it's very important, people. We got to be able to allow Yah to open up our eyes so that we might see the visions, even the visions of the times that we are living in. Where are the true prophets, man? I'm talking about true prophets that prophesy things and those things come to pass. Where are they? They are drunken with wine, therefore if they err. And their eyes are covered, therefore if they cannot see the vision. Dawid says in Psalms chapter 119, verse 129, he said, your testimonies are wonderful, therefore do my soul keep them. The testimonies of Yah are wonderful. And that's why we keep them. That's not the verse that I'm looking for. Todaya. Let me keep searching for a little bit here. Just bear with me. So that y'all know it's there. Hallelujah. Let's put this in here right quick. Once again, you're listening to Sound of Trumpet Radio Ministry. I'm your host, Raha Pathuel Ben Yaakov. It's been such a great pleasure to join with you, my brothers and sisters. I do have an announcement I do want to make. I will be in Louisville, Kentucky, with Moray Abraham of Hamashiach Temple. I will be there on the 12th of September. I will be teaching the morning service, the evening service, and on that first day or Sunday, they will be having a community outreach, and I will be present there and bringing the evening message for that community event. So if you're in that area, I'm going to put up a event page with Moray Abraham's number. If you'd like to attend the fellowship, the teaching, preaching of the word on the Sabbath, and the community outreach on Sunday, you can contact him and get further information from him. That's very important. I want to see you all there. Those of you in the surrounding areas there, you listen to this broadcast, make your way out there. I have some very profound teachings and things of that nature the Most High has put on my heart that I want to share with everyone, and I believe it would be a great blessing to your heart. We're going to open up the phone lines at this time. The call-in number is 760-283-4615, and you'll be on the air with Raha Pathuel Ben Yaakov. So we do Toda Yah once again, my brothers and sisters, for you tuning into the broadcast. At this time, we're going to bring on area code 502-909. Area code 502-909. You're on the air live with Raha Pathuel Ben Yaakov. Shabbat Shalom, area code 502-909.
Shabbat Shalom, this is Shataria from Moray Abraham, Knesset.
Oh, how you doing, Shataria? Good to hear from you, my sister.
I'm doing fine.
That's great. So we do appreciate you listening to the broadcast today and hope and pray that the simple teaching today was a great inspiration to your heart and everything, and we're looking forward to seeing you all on September the 13th. I'm going to be out there with you all, so we told our y'all for that. We're looking forward to that. You have anything that you'd like to say to everyone that's listening, anything that's on your heart, on your mind?
No, not at the moment.
Okay. All right, sister. Well, we're going to say Shabbat Shalom to you. May the Most High bless you and keep you, and with the fellowship and everything there at the Hamashiach Temple. Shabbat Shalom to you.
Shabbat Shalom.
Toda Yah, that's Sister Sataria from Hamashiach Temple there with Moray Abraham. We also have another call on the line. I believe I know who this is here. Area code 516-4425. Area code 516-425. You are on the air with Raha Pathuel Ben Yaakov. Shabbat Shalom, area code 516-425. You're on the air live with Raha Pathuel Ben Yaakov. Shabbat Shalom. Once again, area code 516-425. You're on the air with Raha Pathuel Ben Yaakov. Shabbat Shalom.
Brother Pathuel.
Yeah, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Just want to let you know we're tuned in to you here.
All right, Granddad. How y'all doing this Shabbat?
Oh, as usual, we always enjoy it. We look forward for your message because we know it's going to be a good one.
Yes, sir. No doubt. Toda Yah. So we appreciate y'all listening, Granddad.
Well,
what's
that now? Right on point. You're right on point. Yeah.
Yes, sir. No doubt.
Especially with that hammer and that nail. You hit it on the head.
Yes, sir. Toda Yah. So, Granddad, we just want to say Shabbat Shalom to you all. May the Most High continue to bless you and keep you all. I hope to see y'all very soon as well.
Okay. Shabbat Shalom.
All right. Shabbat Shalom. All right, that's Zakane Abraham there in New York City. Tola Yafa them listening to the broadcast today. We pray that the broadcast was a great inspiration to your heart today and that you were uplifted by the teaching today. Like I said, I didn't really have a specific teaching that I wanted to teach on today. I just had some things on my heart that I wanted to share with everybody. And we pray that it was a great inspiration to your heart. Once again, if you'd like to call in, the number is 760-283-4615. You'll be on the air live with Raha Pathwell, Ben Yaakov. All right, I have a song I want to play. This is a song that I wrote and a song that I composed and everything of that nature. And we were delighted to sing it at Passover 2015 with the RCA, Renew Covenant Assembly and Network. So I want to play this song for you all at this time, all right?
You know, there was one day in the ministry of Yahshua HaMashiach that his disciples came to him. They said, Master HaMashiach, teach us how to pray. He said, when you pray, I want you to pray in this manner. Come on, let's give y'all a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. This is what we should pray right here. Yeah, come on, put your hands together. Yeah.
Oh, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The kings of your kingdom are older than your heavens. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass. And it's not in the station, but deliver us, people. You're the power and the kingdom forever. We pray that you come. Let you come. So lift your head up, keep looking to the sky. Israel, you'll be built in love. Let's see that verse one more time.
Stop!
Shalom, Kol Yisrael. Once again, you're listening to Sound the Trumpet Radio Ministry. I am your host, Rahab Pathuel Ben Yaakov. Once again, it's been such a pleasure being joined with you all today. I have another song I want to play. This is also another song that I wrote. It's called That I May Not Sin Against You. And it's taken from the passage of Scripture found in Psalms where David said, I will hide my word, your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Once again, if you'd like to call in, the number is 760-283-4615, and you will be on the air live with Rahab Pathuel Ben Yaakov.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's give y'all a hand clap of praise. So now, yeah. You know, Dawid said, he said, I will hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. How many of you don't want to sin against the Most High tonight? Come on. Let me see a show of hands. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together. Yeah.
Joy that brings up unto heaven.
don't want to sin against the Most High. So I'm going to hide his word deep in my heart. That's how time came. Reach in there and grab it out. Hallelujah.
Shabbat shalom once again. This is Sound the Trumpet Radio Ministry. I'm your host, Rahab Pathwell Ben Yaakov. We have some very exciting events that are coming up. We have Yom Teruah, Feast of Trumpets. And then we have, at the Feast of Trumpets, we have Yom Kippur, which is Day of Atonement. And then at the Day of Atonement, we have the Feast of Sukkot, or Tabernacles. So we're going to be observing these two feasts and one Day of Atonement, the Feast of Trumpets. I believe I don't have the exact dates. I'm going to get the exact dates so I can notify everybody of the exact dates. But I will be going to spend the Feast of Trumpets with Moray Abraham there in Louisville, Kentucky. Once again, I will be there on that Sabbath, which is the 13th. I believe, no, it's the 12th. The 12th of September. We'll be teaching that morning service, evening service, and then on the 13th, which will be that Sunday, we're going to have a community outreach event there in the local neighborhood where the facility is located, where they gather, and I will be bringing forth the evening speech for the community outreach event. So those of you in that area, if you'd like to come out and attend, please come out and attend. And join us as we reach out and spread the word in our local communities, as I've been doing here in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and everything of that nature. So let's pray for that work, because it has to be done and it needs to be done. We need to share Yah's truth and Yah's word with as many people as he put us in contact with. So we want to make sure that we're doing the will of the Most High. Once again, this is Rahab Pathwell Ben Yaakov. It's been a great pleasure joining with you today. I know that the teaching was somewhat short today, but that's all that the Most High put on my heart to speak today, and I do pray that it was a great inspiration to your heart. If you'd like to write me, you can write me at trueremnantministries@gmail.com. We have a website. Our website address is yhwhremnant.org. If you'd like to contact me personally, you can contact me. My phone number is 573-944-6786. You can call me if you have any questions or comments or anything of that nature. Feel free to reach out to me. If I don't respond right then, please leave a detailed message on the voicemail with your name and your number, and we will get back to you ASAP. May the Most High bless you. May He keep you. Till next time, we say, may the Most High bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you. Shabbat shalom.